Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So you all always say that I have a personal connection with all of my guests, and today's episode is no different. I've got the coach of coaches with me on Talker Moments. And before you say a word, I have to let the audience know how we met. Okay. Because I always do this with all of my guests. But, you know, I didn't realize that I had a deep connection with every single person that sat on this couch until they started saying in the comments that has that everybody that comes, TM has one personal story or the other about them. Wow. So I met Coach 10 years ago. Actually, guys, 15th of January 2014 was the day I said I do. And you all know how that situation worked out. And while that situation went crazy in 2015, so it was 9 years ago that I met you, Coach was one of the people who tried to save that particular situation. Do you remember the very first time I walked into your office?
Yep.
Welcome to Talker Moments. Nice to have you here.
It's quite interesting because you were on my couch.
Yes.
My therapist and coaching couch. Yes. Now I'm on your couch.
Yes.
Wow.
Full circle moment.
Yeah, after 9 years.
After 9 years.
Yeah, the roles are reversed. So you're the one asking me questions now.
And I was so looking forward to this because it's the start of the year for us to start with. Happy New Year, guys. Happy New Year to you, Coach.
Thank you very much.
I said that to you before we got on this. Yeah. And it was very important for me to have this conversation with you, actually, because I don't know about you. I mean, from a coach's point of view, I can't wait to get into your mind. But I know the mood out there is 2023 was a very heavy year. You know, people will say to you, oh my God, you know, it wasn't such a bad year, but I'm just so happy that the year is done, you know. And, you know, there was a lot of mental awareness, mental health discussions, people just going through it, you know. And at the start of the year, just to, you know, give a boost back, I know that people are probably wondering, you know, when they see people like, and they hear coaches and therapists, there's always this whole thing about, you know, you, there must be something wrong with you for you to see a therapist, or what is going on in your life and why do you need a life coach? So for me, I just wanted to even ask, you know, how important it is, why is it is so important to have a coach?
All right. So thank you very much, Token, to all the people watching. Happy New Year. And it's quite interesting because 2024 is a very critical year. It's a pivotal year. And I'll explain it. So you had started the conversation by saying that 2023 was very heavy for many people. Actually, 2023 was the end of the COVID issues. So we got into COVID in 2020.
Yes.
We're on lockdown for the whole year.
Yes.
2021, half of the year, the same thing happened, right? And so 2022 was the year when we came out of COVID. We were trying to, you know, we were trying to recoup. We were trying to reboot. We were trying to recalibrate. And so people started to feel the post effect of COVID really in 2023. Wow. People started to feel lonely. So there is a new mental health category, right? Loneliness. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And languishing.
Oh.
Languishing is when, you know, you're stuck psychologically, emotionally. You used to perform at your optimal. You used to be super productive.
Mm.
But you can't seem to get yourself to perform. So a lot of people are coming out of COVID. And this, what you're describing is what we call PTSD, mm. post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm. And so people are highly irritable. People are very violent. People are very toxic.
Mm.
People are struggling with dealing with their own emotions. It's difficult to deal with people because you've been isolated for so long,
mm.
right? You are used to it. You're running a completely different program. So all of that dynamic is the cause. And what we need is for us to be empathic
mm.
and compassionate with those people that are negative, with those people that are toxic, because they are struggling
mm.
psychologically and emotionally. And we know that as Black people, as Nigerians, we are not allowed to express our emotions.
Mm.
We have been sold a lie that it seems like because we're dark skinned,
mm.
we're different from every other human being.
Mm.
We're all deeply emotional beings. And COVID did a number on us.
Mm.
In fact, most organizations started to struggle.
From 2020.
Yeah, major shift. Yeah,
I think what it was is it seemed like, lockdown, a new way of life. And we all laughed and hoo-hooed and ha-had about it. And, you know, people found other means to adapt and cope.
Yep.
Well, I don't think we fully understood that the world as we knew it was over.
Yes.
And a new world. Just even like in the working environment, for instance, you know, the way people would work has changed.
Yeah.
And there were many offices or many organizations that realized that, you know, there was no need for certain things anymore.
Yeah.
There's now this virtual working at home thing. So even after COVID is over, people still virtually work from home. And if it's not that important, why should they come in?
Yeah.
I don't think I've actually heard anyone put it the way you put it, because for some reason, you just hear people say 2023 was such a terrible year, was such a bad year. Sometimes even when you had a not so bad year, you don't want to say it because it's like everyone's looking at you and thinking, don't
What's
live in this
you?
Same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nigeria.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody I saw on Instagram was not even a Black person. I think, you know how with the algorithm now, you just see things that you're not even signing up for. Or it's just one of those videos that popped up. And this woman was talking about, you know, her newborn baby was born. And I think 4 months after, she said he must have fractured his arm. They didn't realize he fell. Mm. But for some reason, he wasn't using that arm.
Mm.
And then they went to the doctor. The arm was in a cast, but he wasn't getting better. And, you know, at some point, he went through an MRI and they said there was some mass in there. And she said, I called on the name of Jesus and I pleaded the blood of Jesus and whatever. And, you know, when he went through the surgery, the doctor came out underwhelmed and said there was actually nothing. It was just a hole. And I thought that was a miracle. I was even excited that I praised Jesus. I don't know what made me click the comments. The bitterness and vitriol that I saw in there made me realize how heavy the world is right now. People were saying things like, so my child that died, is it that Jesus did not hear? Medical science healed your baby. Stop calling the name of God. Children that die of cancer, does that mean that God is on holiday? And I just thought, wow.
Yeah, so those are the effects. And you spoke about the corporate world, right? We now live in a world that we call the VUCAD world. It's a volatile world, unpredictable world, complex world, ambiguous and disrupted world. So the world of work has completely changed. Now, we're in the fourth digital industrial revolution. So three things happened to us at the same time. One, COVID. Two, the global economy crashed. Three, the fourth digital industrial revolution. So the world is still trying to bounce back.
Mm.
And there's no world without you and I. We are the world.
Mm.
And so we are the ones that suffered it. we are the ones that are still trying to make sense of what we went through, right? Emotionally, psychologically. So it's an expression. It's of the reality of the times that we're in. Now in 2024, there's better hope. Oh, yeah.
That'll be a good year.
I personally believe that 2024 is going to be a phenomenon and a great year. But it's going to be dependent on your input. What you put in is what you're going to get out. And so what I'm saying to people in 2024 is that, you know what? You have to sit down and count the cost of the last 3-4 years and ask yourself, what have I lost? You have to ask yourself, right?
How do you even know you've lost something? Because some people might not.
We've lost so much. You know, time is the only construct that you have to exchange for anything of value. We lost a lot of time. And last year seemed to be so fast. It went like that. So people are asking, where has time gone? It's been, 3 years? It seems like I am where I was in 2020 and I can't seem to account for my time. Now, it's important that we recognize that time is life. And so where did 3 years of your life go? And so you have to look back and ask yourself, what were the goals that you set in 2020? What were the dreams you had? What was the vision that you had for your life in 2020? And you have to ask yourself that, where am I? And so 2024 is quite pivotal because it will determine the next 10 to 15 years of your life. In fact, this is the most important decade that you would ever live. Why? Because a disruption happened. It has caused us to feel stuck for 3 years. Now, we're at the tipping point. And one of the things that I'd advise people to do is go read the book, The Tipping Point. Malcolm Gladwell.
I mean, you said so many things. I just want to really back in and just, I mean, when you said it's going to be like the next decade depends on this year, I'm like, why does it have to be the year that there's a new decade I'm walking into in my life? Because I remember when I was turning 30, 29, and I remember saying this on the episode I had with Temi-san, that when I was turning 29, I suffer from a lot of anxiety. There was a lot of anxiety, but it was a different kind of anxiety. Because for me, I was excited to turn 30 because I felt, okay, if you make mistakes, you bounce back. I mean, 30s, as kids, you know, we're a generation that always wanted to grow up fast. I don't know about this generation now. I don't think they want to grow up as fast as we wanted to because they're quick to age shame people now. Yeah. But back then, I remember turning 29. I was very happy. People just couldn't wait till they were 30 because you felt like at 30, I'm now an adult, right? And turning 40 this 2024, my nerves are in the bin, coach. I feel like I've never been as anxious as I feel right now. I feel like I'm putting so much pressure on myself because, you know, yeah, when I turn 30, if you make a mistake at 31, 32, still okay. I feel like 40 is such a big age. Like at 40, you can't, if you make a mistake at 40, it's like it's done. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of pressure. So when you talked about the decade, now you even put extra pressure on me.
No. It's okay. So let me help you with this, right?
Okay.
You know, we hear many things. And we're products of our environment. And so you've heard possibly that a fool at 40 is a fool forever. You've heard that life begins at 40. You've heard that when you turn 40, then, you know, your biology begins to change. And then you are assessing yourself and you're asking, okay, where am I at 40? Is this where I wanted to be? And so your thoughts, your unconscious, negative, limiting, disempowering thoughts is the cause of your anxiety. And it's principally about other people's beliefs. It's principally about what other people have said. And so it is not even true a lot of times, these things, because there are people whose lives have started at 40. Cornell Sanders started KFC at 65 or so. KFC. That's a global brand. Now, he started it in his late 60s. So, age is a number, Toke. It is a number. And look, I've observed you in the last 10 years. You've done incredibly well, which means that you're just revving. Yeah, you are just starting. You know how a locomotive moves? It revs. Then it goes, then it starts slowly. Then it picks up momentum. Right? That's what I see when I look at you. You are just getting started. Right? And look, your mindset determines what happens in your life. Your internal dynamics influence your external manifestation. And, you know, when I observe you, I have seen certain specific models and patterns that I call your success models, and you may not know them. Now, I've also observed, I've seen a few failure models. And I can now, having this conversation with you, understand why those failure models are there, right? I know you have, I've known you for over 10 years.
Yeah.
I can identify your success model. So what you need to do, right, is be able to identify what makes me fail, what gives me anxiety.
My thoughts, I can tell you. Yes. I'm in my head half the time.
Yes.
And I never used to be like that.
Yes. So you have to ask yourself, where did you get it from? And it's often by association. Ask yourself, who are the people that I've been surrounding myself with, that I've been listening to? Who are the people that I've been speaking into my life? Right? Because you used to be happy-go-lucky. You used to be a dreamer. You used to be a go-getter. You cannot change. You should not change, because that's your winning formula. Right? So now, they're telling you, you have to be careful, though. You know, you have to slow down, though. Now that you are here, you have to X, Y, Z. No, you don't have to. Except you think that you are going to expire soon. You know what? I had a session with a 70-year-old woman that I call Mama J. Right? She's just getting started. I am working with her, right, to start her wellness business at 70. She's going to be 70 in this year. She's just getting started. Now, this woman can run from Akinadeshola nonstop to Banana Island and back. She does it.
That's a place in Nigeria, in Ikoyi, because sometimes we have people that are watching from.
Yeah. And that's like, what, 18 kilometers? Yeah.
Wow, at 70.
At 70. So you determine whether you are expiring or whether you're just getting started. And I think, right, that you actually are just getting started.
Now,
you are asking, you know, why do people need coaches? Mm-hmm. Why are coaches so important? Number one, we all have blind spots. Everyone that lives on earth has a blind spot. Coaches help point out your blind spot. Number two, we all have success models that, you know, aid our success and our attainments in life. A lot of us are ignorant about those success models. So we stumble through what we achieve. A lot of us have failure models. A lot of us have triggers for procrastination. So there are certain things that you do. There are certain things that you struggle with doing, right? A lot of us need accountability, because the only way that you can consistently succeed and you can consistently up your game is to be held accountable, is for your performance to be measured, right? Is for you to tweak what you're doing. It is difficult for us to be on the move and to do it. So you need someone that can support you in doing it. And you know, Bill Gates, easily the most successful business tycoon in the last 5 decades, top 3 billionaires in the world in the last 50 years, he made a most profound statement. He says, everybody needs a coach, whether it's Beyonce. Beyonce was she had just given birth and they had invited her to perform in Coachella. And they had told her that it was going to be in a year's time.
Oh.
Guess what she did? She got a coach and she practiced and she got coached every day. Needless to say, that was a historical performance.
Yeah.
And so you need a coach to move you from where you are to where you desire to be. To move you from where you are to where you deserve to be. To move you from where you are to where you are destined to be faster than you can, all by yourself. A coach challenges you. I mean, it's just like, okay, you want to lose 10 kg. You want to do it by yourself, or you have a fitness coach. Which one would be the faster?
The fitness coach.
Yeah. Let's look at Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo, right? With all the skill they have in the world, right? They would never have attained their potential without the various coaches that worked with them. Serena Williams, Venus Williams, mm-hmm. their father coached them from when they were little. Oh. And then he realized that what he knew wasn't enough to take them to where he had seen that they would get to. So he went to get another coach.
Oh.
So coaching is the second fastest growing industry in the world today. Coaching is the most preferred personal development, professional development intervention amongst executives and leaders today.
Oh.
Everybody wants to succeed. Everyone wants to achieve their dreams.
Oh.
Everyone wants to be everything they were created to be. That's what coaches do.
Oh.
We're trained and coached to be able to help people using tested scientific tools to be everything that you want to be.
Oh. So there's a cheeky question I have. So who coaches the coach then?
I have several coaches and therapists. So
So even therapists need therapy?
Oh, yeah.
Because sometimes I pity therapists because the kind of things, you know, these memes you see online saying, I pity my therapist.
Yeah.
The kind of things my therapist has said, even my therapy needs therapy my session.
Oh, yeah. Not after, periodically.
Oh.
So I check in every 6 months.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
You need to, a lot of the things that we hear and a lot of things that you know, we deal with, you know, you need to unburden.
You know what is so funny? I feel like we live also in an age where there's just so much information. At some point, you're like, can the world just shut
pause.
Up? Because every time you go online, there's somebody's self-motivated. Like, everybody's motivating and it's just like, it's way too much. There's everyone out there would get to a point in their life, as you said, where your coping mechanisms expire. And because that happened to me, you know, I knew how to throw myself into work and just, that's how I survived most of the things that I've been through. Like I just throw myself into work and I just act like it's not happening. But at some point, I think it was about maybe 3-4 years ago, where
COVID,
even before, I think a year before COVID was when it started happening to me, my coping mechanisms all expired. And then I was open to therapy. Because if you remember, when I first met you, I wasn't open to therapy.
I know, right?
I don't know. I just felt it was weird. I still do sometimes to just sit there and talk to a complete stranger about me. And I'm like, maybe also because of the trauma I experienced as a child and constantly feeling like you're a burden. I just didn't understand how I would meet this total stranger, sit on that couch and he would care or she would care about what I'm saying. So I ran away the very first time because I just couldn't wrap my head around it. And I know there are many people who've sent emails like that saying they keep hearing about therapy, but you know, what is the first step to actually knowing that you need therapy?
I mean, it's quite interesting because, you know, we're not okay.
Everybody.
All of us are not okay. 1 in 3-4 people has a mental health issue. So, yeah. So 1, 2, 3, 4, somebody in here. Actually, 2 people in here are not okay. So maybe it's you.
I feel
Or maybe it's me.
Yeah.
That is not okay. But the first thing is for us to recognize that we are not okay.
Okay.
The second thing for us to recognize is that it is okay not to be okay.
Mm.
But the third thing that you need to recognize is you cannot stay in that state. It is not okay to stay in that state. And there's some people that are trained to help you. So technically, if you had malaria, what would you do?
Some people self-medicate.
So you'd go to a chemist, right? Mm-hmm. So it means that, okay, you've had the experience. You know what to do. And then you go and get the medication, right? So if you had a broken arm, what would you do?
You have to see a doctor.
You have to see a doctor. And it is the same thing. I say to people that your psychology affects your biology.
Mm.
In fact, the WHO has now declared that 85 to 90% of disease is caused by stress. Bruce Lipton says that 95% of disease is caused by stress and 100% of stress is caused by wrong beliefs.
Thinking.
Yeah. Your environment, your thoughts, your beliefs, your emotions. So only 5% or 10% of disease is genetic. The rest is psychosocial. So you create your own disease.
Damn.
Yeah. And so if you don't want, you know, to continue to create disease, and disease simply means a lack of ease. Hmm. So it's not only when you have a physical ailment that you have a disease.
Hmm.
You can have a mental, emotional, relational, or spiritual disease. Now, this life is all you have.
Mm.
You can't go to the vulcanizer and say, I want to spare life.
Mm.
You can't go to the, you know, store and say, I want to buy another life, like they do in games. This is all you have. And you've got to make the best of this life.
Mm.
And there are people that are trained, right? There are professionals that are trained to help you make the best of your life. Now, your life and the experiences of your life, right, is the result of your mindset. And if you don't get your mindset right, it's over.
Mm.
If you lose your mind, okay, now, what else is there?
Someone said the only thing they saved in 2023 was their mind.
Yeah. And that is not that just culture. The only thing. That's a major thing. In the last 4 years, the major thing that you needed to ensure that you protected and you saved was your mind.
Mm.
Now, you've installed certain programs because of fear of death, because of a lot of things that happen. We're running unconscious, negative, limiting, disempowering programs.
Mm.
Now you need someone to help you uninstall those programs and reinstall new programs.
Mm.
This is how I'll put it, right? Imagine if your computer or your phone had a virus.
Mm.
It won't function optimally. That's what's going on with us. We are all not functioning optimally anymore.
Mm.
We need to get an expert, a coach, a therapist, a psychologist to help us install an antivirus, uninstall the program that we're running, and help us create new programs for the next 10 to 15 years.
So what do we do about awareness? Because I find out that people hear you and people know, yes, there's clearly something wrong. But sometimes I find out that the first point of coaching that you are almost giving as a suggestion oftentimes lies in religion. And I found out that over the years, there's a place for religion. And there's a place, really,
for professionalism.
Do you know what I mean? Because religion always is from an emotional, like it or not, point of view. Because it's an emotional thing. To worship it's a relational thing.
Mm.
And you find out that a lot of people would say, "I spoke to my pastor," before they say, "I spoke to my coach or a therapist."
All right, let me just break it down, right? So Tokyo Makinwa, you are a spirit. You have a mind or a soul and you live in an earth suit. That's how you are made up.
Mm.
You are not a human being, actually. You are a spiritual being having a human experience.
Really?
Oh, yes. The real you is invisible. 95% of everything you do is subconscious. So we call it your subconscious entity. Your subconscious entity is a combination of your spirit and your soul. Now, that spirit and soul is contained in a container called your body. So your body ain't you. Your body can't make a decision. Your mind makes a decision. Your spirit makes a decision. Right?
What's the difference between mind and spirit? Sorry, right, so, I probably sound absolutely crazy.
That's fine. But... that's fine. So your spirit and your soul are two completely different things. The essence of your life and your existence is your spirit. So when the Bible says God created man in his own image and after his likeness, God doesn't look like us. It is the spirit. The Bible says God is spirit. So the deposit of God in us is our spirit. That's the first thing that God created in Genesis 1, 26, 27, 28. And he gave our spirit dominion. Right? Then further down the scripture, he says that, you know, there was rain and then he formed man. Formed. So he had created the spirit. Then he formed man from the dust of the earth. Now, research has proven that all the components of your skin, same exact component as soil. Exact. That's why when they bury you, they say ashes to ashes and dust to dust. And when they go look for your dead body, 5 years after, they don't see the skin anymore. They see only bones. That's because the soil is gone back to the soil. So God formed a casing, a capsule around your spirit. But yet, there was no intellect. There was no emotion. There was no will. So the third thing that God did was, and God breathed into man. And man became what? Life. A living soul. So the breath of God is the soul of man. That is, your soul is the seat of your intellect, your will, your emotions.
No wonder I used to have moments, and I don't know if anyone out there experiences this moment. I remember even as a child, I would have moments where I was trying to figure out who I am. Like, you keep trying to think, who am I? You know, like, what is inside of me? Like, how did I come to be? I don't know if I'm weird, but that used to happen to me a lot where I would just literally be like, so who exactly is this person? You know what I mean? And, you know, I used to think we're some of our experiences. So things you've been through, places you've been at, where you're from is what sums up who you are. But clearly, I'm kind of wrong.
That's part of it.
Okay.
And I love that question that you've always asked as a child, because that's the most important question you can ever ask in your life. And I will encapsulate that question and wrap it around a few other questions. First question is, who am I? And a lot of people think that when they say TM, Toke Makinwa, that's who you are. No, that's a name that I was giving you. That's a tag that I was giving you. That's not who you are. Now, so you must ask, who am I? And as you ask that question, who am I? You must also ask, who am I not? Because many of us, because of what people will think and what people will say, we plan, right, to behave in the way that people would accept us. So we're no longer living our lives. We're living other people's lives.
Damn.
We want to be like other people. I like that guy. So you start to dress like him. You start to talk like him. Especially, you know, in the religious setting. Right? So who you are and who you are not are two very important questions. The third question you need to ask is, what am I? Now, there are different kinds of spoons, right? So a spoon is not just a spoon. There is a function for a teaspoon. There's a function for a tablespoon. There's a function for a soup spoon. And so the fact that you say I'm a spoon is not just good enough.
Yeah.
The functionalities are different. So each and every one of us, right, are created to be a solution to a problem or to be solutions to problems. So the fourth question you want to ask yourself is, what problem am I a solution to? The sixth question is, whose problem am I a solution to?
Not the who's coach.
Because you see, people fill the earth. And that is where money is. That's where value is. When you solve people's problems, the more problems you solve, the more money you make. The bigger the problems you solve, the bigger the money you make.
Mm.
And so when people create brands, when people want to make money, when people want to become significant, when people want to become popular, I say to them, let's sit down, right? Let's achieve what you want to achieve. But let's find fulfillment, satisfaction, peace, joy, and prosperity all at the same time. Because that's all that we are striving for in life. Mm. Everyone wants to find fulfillment, satisfaction, peace, happiness, joy. Now, people try to buy that essence. They want to become popular. They want to make money. You know, they want to acquire power and they want to use that as a means to an end. Meanwhile, you can get that end directly by discovering the purpose for which you were created, by identifying the solution you were created to be, by becoming that solution and delivering value, an exceptional value to the people that you are called to. Because the truth of the matter, right, is that you were created for such a time as this, for a purpose, right, as an African, as a Nigerian, and you are relevant and very significant. So it is important for you to be able to separate that essence of your spirit from your will to do or not to do, from your intellect and from your emotions. Mm. Now, this is where a lot of people struggle. They go to church to develop their spiritual essence, but their soul is lost.
Can you possibly develop your spiritual essence without your soul?
Yes. I've described your soul. Mm. It's the seat of your emotions. So if you lack emotional intelligence or emotional resilience and you are not in tune with your soul, you're on a lost battle. Now, the devil doesn't possess your spirit. It takes over your soul.
Mm.
Yeah, your thoughts, your mind, your belief system, your emotions. You begin to doubt yourself, your will. That's where the battleground is.
Sometimes that also happens as a result of, I feel like a lot of us, and this is one thing I started actively doing, a lot of us do not necessarily give ourselves credit for the journey we've been on. You know, you hear a therapist who say to me, you're not responsible for things that happen to you. You're responsible for how
you react
to those things that have happened to you, which I agree. But we don't talk enough, or we don't give ourselves enough credit for surviving certain things. I always use this analogy all the time. You know, I'm also a Bible believing, you know, I'm not really a religious person. I would say I'm more into a relationship with God.
Okay.
Religion has never really been, I think my, you know, I was born into a home where religion was important, which I'm grateful for, because, you know, I would be the one who would win all the prizes and represents the church in different schools, because I was very curious about the Bible at a very young age, and I've always been. But one of the stories in the Bible that always blows my mind is that of Noah. I feel like, you know, I try to compare those stories we hear to modern day sometimes. Times, yeah. And sometimes the stories in the Bible, they are crazy. Mm-hmm. Because imagine if a guy wakes up at one of the popular roundabouts we have and starts to shout, repent, because God is going to wipe the earth with water. I'm sure I'll be part of those that will probably put on my Snapchat and think, this person's gone bonkers.
Yeah.
Pick him up. And I'm sure the government will first be like, are you mad in this hot climate? What do you mean? This person is mad, you know? Noah went through that for years. The ark wasn't built in 2 months or 3 months.
Yeah.
This guy went through people coming every day to say, this madman is still here. His family members, his children at school probably be embarrassed to go to school. Because imagine if that was your daddy, who everyone thinks is mad, right? And, you know, years went by, he built that ark and the rain came. And one of the questions I'm going to ask God in heaven is, you couldn't even vindicate the guy. The rain came and he wiped up everybody. In the later part of Noah's life, he was mad. He was a drunk. Because half the shit he'd been through. Those negative words have a way of, no matter how strong you are, yes, imagine hearing for like 5-10 years how mad you are. And eventually now happens and there's nobody that will say, ah, this guy was even right, or you can't even get a moment.
Yeah, you got it right there because he was very spiritual. And I love the way you describe your Christianity. It is not about religion, it's about spirituality. And it's important that we begin to separate both because religion is man trying to please God, and man can never please God. Religion is looking for everything external that can make you righteous and holy. It's not in the external things. It is spirituality, which is that intimate and personal relationship with God. It's about you. It's about you. It's about your evolution. It's about, you know, the value you add to the world. And so I love, you know, your approach to Christianity, because we no longer live in a dispensation of the law. We now live in a dispensation of grace, right? And so haven't gone through that. Now, talking about Noah, you've just given me a biblical definition, an example of what I was talking about. Noah knew God. Right? Noah heard God. Noah obeyed God to the letter. And then people start chit-chatting. This guy is crazy. This guy is, you know, and then they went into the ark, right? And he was able to experience God wipe off the entire earth. But emotionally and psychologically, he couldn't handle it. Even though he was operating at his highest level of spirituality. And that's why you need a therapist.
But those days they didn't have any.
Yes, they
didn't. Who could know I talked to?
And in this day and age, right, we all have different experiences. The whole world was almost wiped off with COVID. Remember the first weeks of COVID? Tokyo, you know what? For the first 6 months, I didn't step down from upstairs. I didn't come down the stairs, talk less or step out my front door into my compound. I was scared. There was one day, one fateful day. You know, all of us were fine. I never caught COVID. All of us were fine. I went to bed. We were downstairs, my wife, my children. We were downstairs chilling. I went upstairs about 11 o'clock and I got into bed and my heart started to pump. My heart started to beat. Everywhere started to spin. And it was like I was paralyzed. Wow. It was like I couldn't move. And I couldn't pick up my phone. Physician, heal yourself. My mind was telling me what to do. My body wasn't responding. So after a while, I calmed myself down. I managed to crawl downstairs. When my wife and my children saw me, you see the panic in their eyes. So instantly they called the doctor. This was about 12 midnight. The doctor started asking me questions. Do you have this symptom? I said, no. Say, you're having a panic attack. Even me, that I'm a therapist and a coach in the midst of COVID, I was fine before I went upstairs. Because every day I was watching CNN, this number of people died. This number of people did. And crazy. I was teaching it. I was using those statistics every day. So nobody knew whether COVID was a ghost or a spirit that would just come into your house and kill you, right? I had a panic attack. And the doctor says there's nothing wrong with him. Don't bring him into the hospital. He should go and, you say he's a therapist and a coach. All those interventions that he uses for people, he needs to go and use it on himself. And that's what I had to do for 3 days. Prayers, affirmations, meditation, visualizing myself and my entire organs, you know, settle down. That's what did it for me.
It's like when people say when you're ill, it's not the medicine that works. It's your mindset.
In fact, you know, there's certain research, right, that when they're about to release a drug, they do two sets of tests. They get classified people and they put them in a controlled space and they give them the medication. And they get another set of people and they put them in a controlled space. Then they give them what we call a placebo, right? It's an inert sugar pill. And then they test the results. So both people have the disease And then they give this category the right medication. They give these guys an inert sugar pill. Guess which ones has the most effect?
The ones on that side.
The placebo.
Because your mind.
Yeah. So the pharmacologists, they know that they need your belief.
Mm.
So when you go into a hospital with a man wearing white or a woman wearing white with a stethoscope, you believe that that person is an expert. So that person has run a diagnosis on you and says, you have this.
Mm.
That's what we call a diagnosis, right? And then it says you have to take this for 3 days, morning, afternoon, night, and you'll be okay.
Mm.
You go believing that you'll be okay. You will be okay.
Mm.
Now, there's also something we call a prognosis, which is they diagnose that this person has cancer, but they say that that person will die in 2 months. That's a prognosis, right? Now, and they say to that person, unfortunately, there's nothing we can do for you anymore. So there are two sets of people. Some people give up, and on the dot of 2 months, they die. Some people say, never, I ain't dying. And they're still living.
Mm. I actually believe what you say, because I remember we had this, my mom had this shop attendant while we were growing up. Amazing guy. He was a huge part of our lives. We all knew him growing up. And, you know, he had been sick, but we would probably go to hospital there about, you know, these people believed in going to their village to treat themselves. Mm. He would come back for another 2 years to be fine. But he kept losing a lot of weight. And at some point, my mom just thought, you know what, I'm actually going to get tested. And they found out he was HIV positive.
Wow.
And I remember she was like, don't, you know, he's crying and, you know, delirious. It's not the end of the world, you know. She didn't even want him to go because he had become that part of our life. Mm-hmm. He died in less than 3 weeks after that.
Yeah.
But this is a guy that would always get better when he just thought it was malaria.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
But it's a question I want to ask. You know, I've heard you talk about fulfillment, purpose. Can you have it all?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, you can. You can. Oh, yeah.
Because I feel like there's always a but. Or maybe we've conditioned ourselves to just accept that there's always a but. You see this person, fine girl, good career, something, something, single. You see that person married, maybe they're struggling in the career path. You see this person, maybe, you know, there's always just a but when a group of people sit down together and they try to exchange or rub minds. There's always someone who is looking at you thinking you have it better than they do.
And that's where the problem is. You have it all. But you despise what you have. Why? Because you're comparing yourself with someone else and what they have. Now, your path, Toke, is different from my path.
Mm.
Your purpose is different from my purpose. Your gifts are different from mine. The resources that God has given you, the gifts and talents God has given you, the relationships He's given you are completely different from mine. The reason that we think we don't have it all or we can't have it all is because I'm comparing myself with 10 other people who have 10 different other things different from mine. Mm. And I want those 10 things. I want, not that I need, I want those 10 other things.
Mm.
It's not about what you want. When you begin to think about, I want that, I want that, and I want that as well, you are living in covetousness. You can never have it all. Who has it all? But you can always have everything that you were ordained to have. And that's why you must focus on your focus, not on other person's life.
Mm.
You must run your race and walk your own path. Contentment is the key.
Game.
Covetousness is one of the keys of human beings' problems.
Mm. Do you feel like social media has made it even worse than it should normally be?
Yes.
Social media. Because everyone's posting their success and nobody's really coming out to show you when they are, you know, between their knees crying and being like, this is not working out.
Yeah. You know, social media is great.
Mm.
I love it. You know, but social, you know, human beings were excessive. And so it's not even their successes that they are posting. A lot of people are posting lies.
Mm.
And so I'm looking at your social media. Let me use Kim Kardashian. Kim Kardashian carries this Maybach. You know, you don't know that they've paid her $500,000 to post it. Then you go and borrow, beg and steal, and even try and kill for rituals, right? To go and buy the bag and carry the bag. You don't know that, man, she was paid for it. Mm-hmm. And she won't say she was paid for it. You want to carry that bag. You don't know that Kim has been in this, you know, PR entertainment business for so long. You don't know what she earns. You don't know what her income is. You are right here working in Access Bank. And as a
sales, not the Access Bank.
Or wherever, whatever bank you're working in. And you want to be Kim tomorrow. You know, someone buys a Range Rover Sports, right? Or full, you know, Range Rover, right? At the end of the year. And then you say, I've known this person for so long, man. I also want that Range Rover. You don't know that that person worked hard the last 3 years, earned a lot of bonuses, and has been saving for the last 10 years. And that person is 40 or 50. And that person has always dreamt that I'm going to get myself that car as my 40th or my 50th birthday present. You are 25. You just started working and you say, we work in the same unit now. I want that car too.
Oh.
So covetousness is a major problem. FOMO. It's another, FOMO, especially with social media. You want what other people are showing that they have. You want the kind of life that they are projecting that they have. How many people live lives that are not ups and downs?
Mm.
You know, there's the law of duality. There will always be sad times and happy times. There'll be times when you are high and low. There will always be black and white. Yeah, there will always be good and evil. That's the reality of life. God never promised you that your life will be hunky-dory. He says, count it all joy when you go through diverse trials, diverse, many trials and tribulations. He says, let it do his work.
Mm.
Yeah, let patience do his work. So in the midst of us going through challenges, right, do you know, I found out over the last 2 decades, that failure, challenges, pain, they teach you more than success and gain teach you. And so it is for your own progress. It is for your own personal growth. It is for your own personal development when you go through diverse trials. But people never pause to reflect and ask themselves, what can I take away from this experience? What wisdom can I take away from, extract from this so that I can apply it in my future. The reason why you are so smart, Toke, is you've gone through hell and back.
But I'm tired of going through hell, coach. Yeah. Like, listen.
Now it's not time.
2024, I can't.
It's now time to apply all that wisdom. Yeah, you don't have to go through those cycles. Yeah.
What?
It's time to free yourself. I say to people that life is cyclical, right? Life is cyclical. If you look at your life, you will realize that you're going through loops of cycles. Mm-hmm. Some people have 7-year cycles. Some people have 5. Some people have 10. The same thing is happening to you every 10 years. Now,
another 10 years, I'll go through this.
No. This is the master key, okay? This is the master key. You see, in between the loops of life is a door. Okay. You know what opens that door? Wisdom.
Hmm.
That's why wisdom is a profitable thing. So every time you go through an experience, ask yourself, what is the purpose? Instead of you wallowing in negativity or trying to escape, because a lot of people run away from facing the reality.
Hmm.
Ask yourself, why did this happen to me? What is the wisdom that I need from this? Elicit the wisdom, because that wisdom opens the door to a new cycle in life, not the old one. But if you don't acquire the wisdom and understanding in every situation, it must come back, because you have to acquire the wisdom and the knowledge. Why? Because wisdom is the most profitable thing, and wisdom comes with knowledge and understanding. And people, the greatest challenge we have as human beings is ignorance. Ignorance keeps you in the loop. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding unlocks the loop.
Wow.
So you won't have to go through it. If you know how to elicit the wisdom, understanding and knowledge and apply it.
Mm.
Yeah, you leave that loop behind.
There's certain times that life will... I keep hearing things like life will humble you. And people keep saying life will humble you. And I used to look at it and think, what does that even mean?
Mm.
You know, in my opinion, I think it got to a point where I couldn't even talk about things I was going through anymore. Because it's just like, okay, so this has happened. Okay, what next? You know what I mean? And when you're like, okay, trying to roll with the punch, because that's my the way I'm wired is to just roll with the punches.
Mm.
You know, I've learned from a very young age to, as you said, life is not all hunky-dory. It's not all because, you know, I've had the most devastating things happen to me as a child that I sat back and I thought, if this can happen to people that knew God, that called God the way they called God, there's no hope for people that, you know, are just basically just trying, you know? Mm. And then you just adapt, you know, you get to a point where you kind of, so what people see as strength, because you have people say things like, oh, Tokamaka is so strong, he's so strong. I'm like, I had no other choice. You know, it's literally like, okay, maybe that's what made me also comfortable in failing, quote unquote. Like, you can't shame me because I've already, okay, this didn't work out. All right, we roll and we move. But then what I didn't realize that was happening is how do you heal from those disappointments and those betrayals and those, I mean, for the longest, I would say the very first person who broke my heart was God. If it's a human being that broke my heart, you can't heal.
Wow.
But as a child, how do you go to bed brushing your teeth and you say, you go to this revival and they tell you, pray tonight, God will appear to you. And I was so excited and I brushed my teeth and I was like, God, I'm preparing for you. You have to appear to me tonight, because I was very curious about him and he never came till now. And I know it sounds crazy, but that was my first taste of heartbreak. That was my first taste of rejection. I felt like, am I not good enough for you to appear to? Because this guy had said, I was probably eight, but how come it sticks to my mind till now?
That is quite interesting, you know, because it wasn't actually God that broke your heart.
My expectations broke my heart?
Yeah.
What was I supposed to do at eight?
Your unrealistic expectation. Because you listen to one man that said to you, God will appear to you. God doesn't appear to everyone. God hasn't always appeared.
But the Bible says he appeared to people. He appeared to Abraham. Yes. He appeared to Moses in the burning bush.
Yeah.
I wanted my burning bush experience. Am I not good enough?
I know. Right? But you see, we can't put God in a box.
I think that's what we tell ourselves, coach, to explain the failures that happen in life.
No, you see, and this is where coaching is so important.
Okay.
Never set a goal or an expectation around what you have no control over. It will lead to frustration.
Never set a goal or an expectation around things you have no control over.
Yes.
Deep.
Yes. And if you looked at a lot of your trauma, your pain, that's it. So
why couldn't God just surprise this little girl? Why couldn't he just do things differently for me?
And guess what? He has been showing up for you. But I'll tell you what, right? There are different avatars of people, and there are different modes of experiencing God. There's some people that see God. There's some people that hear God. There's some people that know. And there's some people that sense.
Mm.
So when God wants to speak to you or reveal a revelation to you, some people see a vision, they see God.
Mm.
That may not be your modus operandi. Some people hear. Mm. Some people just know.
Mm.
I can tell you that your mode is knowing. How do you know that this business will work? How do you know that this idea will be successful?
Mm.
That's a knowing. That's God right there.
I think what compounded that, a childhood trauma of mine, what compounded that was, I think, what happened almost, I'm sure I might have forgotten that, but I don't know why each time I remember the girl who was brushing her teeth I remember that girl who was asking, getting ready, because my parents took me to a revival. I'd never been to a revival before. And I remember, you know, it was in Abuja. We lived in Abuja. And I think it was that, there was this this pastor that was born blind, Obadiah.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time we were there, and everybody had talked about him. And I remember not sleeping all night. And he said, "As you go to bed tonight, ask that God should show up for you." And I did ask. I was so eager. Went to bed thinking I was going to experience God, and nothing happened. But I think the reason why I always remember that picture was that was my first lesson at disappointment. One, but I also think the way my parents died is one thing that I've just never been able, because they knew God. They took me to that revival. My dad was an elder in church. You know, like, they served God with everything. And just the way they left, when I get to heaven, I mean, I know I've been through grief therapy and I'm okay to even talk about it to this point, but it's one of those things that I feel like I need to, like, if people could leave for you like that, and on the day of trouble,
you didn't show up.
You didn't show up. So forgive me if sometimes my faith is not as strong, because
that's the human being in you. But I'll give you a classic story, right? So I lost my older sister many years, a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when I lost her, you know, I was in Uyo, and she had a very rare neuromotor disease. So all her motor systems were shutting down, and there's no cure for it. Anyway, I flew to Uyo to do some work, and, you know, and my niece called me and says, auntie's gone. And every morning I brisk walk and run. So I sat right there on the road, and I was like, God, why now? Why would you let her go through? We tried everything. You know what God says to me? You know, he says to me, if she was going on a holiday and you knew that you won't see her, or she was traveling to America and you couldn't get a visa to America, how would you take that trip? I said, that'll be okay. Said, she's traveled ahead of you. And that's how I see death. One, two. He said to me, and I said, why did you take her that way? He said, well, he said, have you read the story of my son?
Yeah.
I said, yes. He said, you know, my son was in heaven with me. I compelled him to come to this earth as a human being to carry the burden and the sin of the entire world. And I separated myself from him. Do you know what he would have gone through? Do you know why he prayed that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane?
Take his cup away from me.
For eternity, God had never been separated from God. And in that moment where he bore our sins on that cross, God separated himself from himself. Now, I can just imagine what Jesus was thinking. What if I can never be reunited with him? What if this is it? Imagine what that feels like. Now, beyond that, right? He had a disciple that he had nurtured, he had groomed and coached for 3 years. Now, this guy sold him out. Betrayal. The third thing was, you know, he was beaten to a pulp. His back was lacerated. He was nailed. So let's say Jesus was maybe 75 kg. His weight
laid on that nail,
hung, you know, on the nails on his hands and his feet. Imagine the excruciating pain. That was not enough. They took a spear and they bore a hole in his side. And then he screamed, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that moment, right, God separated from God.
He was human in that moment.
Yeah. And he understands how we all feel, because he went through it. He had to go through it so that he can understand what we go through. So you have a high priest that gets you, that understands what you go through. You know, the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are. So he knows when we are going through our struggles. He He intercedes on a daily basis for us. That's why we're in a dispensation of grace, because God has gone through it himself.
Oh.
Right? And so if God will not spare him, as in, if God will put his dearly beloved son through that,
oh,
and he died that kind of death at age 30-something,
oh,
Abba.
Wow. Yeah. I've never really had a graphic. The way you broke it down is clearly, I can see why you're a coach. I can see, I can definitely see how you can sell water to a bottle.
That's a motivational speaker. That's different from a coach.
Clearly. Yeah, no, but what I meant by that is I can definitely see how wisdom and the years of, you know, doing what
experience,
you're doing
is
literally, you know, it's telling. You literally picked me up from not feeling like, you know, my heartbreak was.
But God loves you specially.
Mm.
Absolutely loves you. And he has been speaking to you. He's been leading you. He's been guiding you. You know, he has a hand in your success. You know, he will never leave you nor forsake you. He shows up for you, man.
He does.
And you know, we need to live a life of gratitude. There's a way that God shows up for me. It's different from the way that God shows up for, you know, John the Baptist or Elijah, right?
Mm.
That's my personal relationship with him.
Mm.
You know, I need to cherish that.
Mm.
You know, the way he showed up for Noah, it's different from the way he showed up for Joseph. I mean, look at the Joseph story, man. Yeah.
That's insane.
You know, and you wonder, why would Joseph go through that? His brothers, a slave in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's wife, then you're sentenced to prison. But guess what? It's in prison that they came to get you and moved you into the palace. You became the most powerful man in the world.
Mm.
So we can only join the dots backwards. Our lives don't make sense when we're going through it, looking forward.
Mm.
But at some point, you need to pause, right? And look back and join the dots.
Mm.
Oh, because it is only when you join the dots backwards that it makes sense.
Mm.
It's only now that we're reading the story of Joseph that it made sense.
Mm.
But whilst Joseph was going through it, it didn't make sense.
It's so wild you say that, because just last night, like one of the things that I said 2024 I was going to do better was my relationship with God, because God and I fell out bad last year.
Wow.
Towards the end of the year, we kind of stopped talking.
God so fast, Sha. You took it out on him. Happened to you?
I think I just got to a place where my 2023 was full of a lot of optimism, a lot of, you know, me. Coach, when I walk myself to the place where my faith is unshakable, I am like a different person.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm on fire.
Wow.
And I found out that a lot of high lows were happening with me spiritually and emotionally last year. You know, you almost get to a point where it's like people have this perception of you and think that if it's not high, she wouldn't, you know. So you now start to almost, without you knowing, reduce your standards, even in interpersonal relationships.
Wow.
And then you get beating and you realize, how did I lower my standard to even date this person? And this person decides to, you know what I mean? So you go through a lot of, okay, what exactly is going on here? And I think also in my spiritual life as well, I'd been through a lot of, you know, starting the year on a high note and feeling like, you know what? This is the year that you're going to do this particular thing I'm trusting you for. And this other thing that is going to happen is this year, my year. And you know, church doesn't help, because they tell you all those is your year. And you're very like, and then after a while, nothing happens. You know, you find. So I'd already said to God that I've noticed a pattern in my life, that I have this moment where I'm like one with you, we're best friends. And then the moment of tests come and I never really pass those tests, because I remember how many times you've let me down and I get scared and I'm just like, I shouldn't hope so much, because after all, you might not do it, right? And, you know, I think in June last year, I found myself again. I said, I'm going to try this relationship with God thing one more time. And it didn't work out. So towards the end of last year, we were not even speaking. I was just like, you know what, just keep doing you. Let me keep doing me. When you're ready to call me home, peace. Like, you know, I've had a great life. It's great. But I haven't been to church in so long. But for some reason, someone invited me to watch night service and I decided to go. Shout out to Tokme, King. And then I think in there, I found myself again, you know, and then we are definitely in a better place now. So one of the things that I had promised myself in 2024 was not to be that Christian. I don't want to be the Christian that is determined by what is going on in my life. I want to trust God regardless. In good times and bad times, you are God, you know. And I'd said that to the universe that this year I'm going to keep trying. I started reading my Bible again. I felt like the prodigal son. I came back home. I did feel like that because I'm like, okay, I'm reading this thing. And then yesterday, before I even chatted with you, I remember the word that came to me was, do not look on the former things. I'm about to do a new thing. Yeah. And I remember 10 years ago, that word came to me. There was someone who looked at me and said, what God is about to do in your life, eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. They're not the same, but it was almost the same thing in terms of doing a new thing. Yeah. So I kind of started feeling pumped. But you know, the devil is so crazy. The moment he thinks that you're going to nail it, he finds a way to introduce doubts. And that's where I struggle. You know, I struggle a lot with accepting God's love for me. I don't know why, but I do struggle. I just feel like he loves me, but I don't think he's that crazy about me. So
really?
I don't know why.
Let me help you. Let me help you understand the love that God has for you.
Right. The kind of love he has for everybody, right?
I mean, let's talk about you.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, God knows the number of hair on your head.
Mm-hmm.
He knows you by name.
Mm-hmm.
When you call out to him, he answers you. He doesn't answer generally. He answers you. So you have a personal and intimate relationship with him. Even though he died for the world, right? It's not a general thing. It's a specific thing. Because you access him directly, right? To download your own salvation and the benefits of your own salvation. You don't say because he died for the world, then there we go. You have a personal and intimate relationship with him. So he knows you by name, right? He created you. He handcrafted you. Right, and he had to dispatch you because you are relevant, because you are important, because you are significant at such a time as this. And one of the most profound statements I've ever heard, right, is this: I will never leave you, nor forsake you. And I know of a certainty that it is impossible for God to lie, for he's not a man that he should lie, not the son of man that he should change his mind. Once he says it, it is so. And one of the things that I recognize that is most important to God is his word. Now, he says, do not call my name in vain. However, he says, I exalt my word even above my name, which means that his word is more elevated than his name. So, if he guards his word, if his word, he honors it, right? If he dignifies his word even above his name, and you can't call the name of God in vain, Abba, when he says, Toke, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When he says that my love for you is agape, unconditional. You see, the challenge with many of us, right, is our ignorance about what love is. A lot of us think that love is a feeling that we feel like we have never felt before. No, love is a choice. Love is a decision. Love is a verb. 1 Corinthians 13 defines love. You can measure love. There are 13 critical indicators. One, love is patient. Is God patient with you?
He is.
Love is kind. Is God kind to you? Love does not keep records of wrongs. How many times has he forgiven you? And so if you read the 13 key performance indicators of love, you realize that truly,
he does love me.
He does love me. And the final key performance indicator is he says, my love will never die. It never fails. Which means that it is in perpetuity, eternal. So you should know that he loves you, not feel that he loves you. You should know that he loves you because you know what? Evidence terminates argument. You have the evidence from the past and the devil is just going to come and challenge it. Does God really love you? That's what he did to Eve. He was not in a conversation when God had a conversation with Adam. Mm. So he went to meet Eve and said, did God really say? He sows doubts. That's why your soul is the battleground. Your mind is the battleground for the devil. Watch what you hear. Watch your thoughts. It is important because when you master your thoughts and your beliefs.
How do you do that? I think that's one of the things I wanted to ask you as well. For people who are watching, it's a brand new year. What would you say are the five things that you can do to live a balanced and healthy? And when I say healthy, mentally, because I feel like that's where most of the battle starts. You know, someone was saying to me how she was set. She said to someone, I'm never going to get into Harvard. And the person said to her, I agree with you, you wouldn't. And she was so hurt and thought, why would you even say that to me? Said, because for you to get into Harvard, you need to apply. You know, it's not about emotions, you know. And then that made a lot of sense. So a lot of people were already dealing with self-doubts. Would I get this job? Am I good enough? You know, would I be a mom? Would I get married? There's a lot of uncertainty that I sense when I speak to a lot of people. It's like, yeah, I have faith. But so how do you cultivate the battle in the soul? And, you know, in your own opinion, I mean, share with us five things that we can do at the very early stage to at least get ahead of the anxious feelings of a new year.
I think the very first thing is to visualize. It's a very powerful tool. The ability to engage your imagination and to tap into the mind of God for God's future concerning you. Because many are the plans of a man, but only God's purpose shall be fulfilled. So what often happens is I develop an ambition. It's contrary to God's vision for my life. And so because God's vision will always, be superior to my own ambition, when I'm trying to go east and God's vision is west, His power will take me in the direction of west. So I'm left frustrated. So the very first thing you need to do, is submit, And how do you submit? It's got nothing to do with religion because you've got a deposit of God's spirit in you. Everybody does. And so just close your eyes and begin to imagine.
I'm going
to
do it vividly right now.
Imagine the future. Imagine the next 20 years, okay?
I think the AC is getting in the way. I think I need to be in a quiet, zen place because I'm trying to know what the hell I'm doing. I'm trying to get it, but
So imagine yourself at age 70.
70?
Yes. Yeah, your 70th birthday. Just imagine your 70th birthday. And you're being celebrated. You've achieved every single thing that God has ordained that you'd achieve. You feel so fulfilled, so satisfied. You are happy spiritually. You are fully attained. You have a personal relationship with God. You are fulfilling your purpose. You are solving problems. Financially, you have achieved every single thing you've set out to achieve. You've touched many lives. You've become a global, powerful, recognized brand. Your health is intact. Your state of mind is perfect. Home and family is intact. You are in the relationship of your dream. You love your spouse. Your spouse loves you. Your family is solid, intact. Your self-esteem is high. Your self-confidence is solid. You are able to travel everywhere you want to go, do anything you want to do. You're having fun. You are sleeping well. You are resting well. You are secure spiritually, emotionally, physically. You are fulfilled. You are satisfied. You're at peace. You're living a prosperous life. I want you to just experience that life. And you've invited top people from across the world and they've graced this your 70th birthday. I want you to look around at all the people that you are seeing, the top people from America, the top people from Europe, the top people from North America and the rest of the world. Who are those people that are sat in that room? And what are the kinds of things that they are saying about you? The things you've achieved, the impact you've made, the lives you've touched. I want you to feel it. What are you wearing? What are they saying? What does it feel like? What do you look like? What do you smell like? I want you to experience this in its entirety. See it clearly. I want you to hear every single thing that people are saying. I want you to feel every single thing as if it was happening right now. And I want you to hear God whisper to you, "Well done, my daughter. You have fulfilled the purpose for which I created you. I am so happy with you. I absolutely love you." Now, how does that feel, Toke?
Really beautiful.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
Really beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, that is what people need to do. Have this experience. Document it.
Mm.
The Bible says, have a vision.
Mm.
But make sure you write the vision down and make it plain.
Mm.
So as you've experienced this, you need to document it. What did you see? What did you hear? Who did you see in the room? What did they say about you? Document everything. Then ask yourself the third question. How can I make it happen?
Mm.
What must I stop doing? So you must identify 10 things you must stop doing. 10 things that will stop you from living that dream.
Mm.
10 things you must stop doing. 10 things you are currently not doing that will help you achieve that which you saw and experienced.
Mm.
Then, what are the things that you are wasting your time doing that you need to do less of? Some of them are okay, important, right? But you need to do less of it. What are the things that you should be committing time to do that you need to do more of? So start, stop, more, less. And then the next thing you need to do is to find someone that after you've gone through this process, you've visualized it, you've documented it, you've written the steps that you take towards achieving it. You find someone that can hold you accountable, that can help you break it down every year. You know, life unfolds, you know, on a yearly basis. So this experience becomes your legacy, but you write your legacy every day.
Mm.
So you need someone that will hold you accountable to what it is that you commit to and can help you stay consistent to the dreams that you've seen. Now, why is this so important?
Mm.
Genesis 11 says that God came down when man was trying to build a tower that would reach to heaven. And God made a profound statement. He says, anything that man imagines to do cannot be stopped.
Mm.
The power of man's imagination is so phenomenal. Many of us don't use our imagination anymore. Your imagination taps into the mind of God and releases God's future concerning you. Because it is your spirit that does that work, not your body or your mind. It is your spirit, the mind of your spirit that taps into the mind of God. And once you catch that image about you, that is who you truly are. And your work on earth is to chase that and to become it. But very few people see the future and create it. That's who we are. We're created in the image and in the likeness of God. God imagines what he wants, then he speaks it into being. being, and it manifests.
Mm.
And so if, you know, you are supposed to have the DNA of your father, when they check your DNA, it will be the same, right?
Mm.
So the DNA of your father in heaven is to be able to create the future of your dreams. And don't create an ambition. Tap into his mind, just as I've taken you through that journey.
Mm.
And see God's future concerning you. Align with it, then live it.
Thank you so much, Coach. I mean, I'm still living in the imagination. I knew that this, when I hit you up, I didn't think it was going to be this good. I don't know. I kind of just always saw it as, you know, a coach and how, you know, we might not be this
connected and relatable.
And we may not flow. Extremely relatable. I definitely think that for those who are in doubt of getting a coach this year, this would probably help them as well. Because, you know, people think about therapy, and even if the conversation is changing now, they are still a little bit, you know, gated about, okay, we can't trust the therapist. How do you know? But this has been so helpful, especially at the start of the year. So thank you so
much.
Thank
you. Thank you
for sharing the wealth of wisdom. I imagine what it's like just sitting, because we could go on for the next 3 hours.
Yeah. I was saying to your crew that I'll tell you a story, right? A few years ago, Pastor Nika DM me.
Yeah.
She had a talk show.
I phone called.
She invited me to her talk show.
Mm-hmm.
Said it's going to be 1 hour, right? We spoke for 6 hours. Yeah. So we did a 6-hour show, and she cut it into different parts. Yeah, part one, part two, 6 hours. Yeah. That's usually how it is when you know, I'm invited to a talk show or Q&A. Yeah.
It's so amazing. Yeah. I might just come knock on your door to see you again.
Anytime.
And, you know, start my sessions again. This is really the prodigal son coming back to everything.
Anytime.
You know, but this has been really helpful at the start of the year. And it's very, very important because, as you said, it's a pivotal year. 2024 is definitely, I know a lot of people are anxious about this year. You know, just from speaking to people, people get anxious at the start of every year.
Yeah.
And in this particular one, it's been like, I don't even have the strength. You hear things like that a lot. I'm just tired mentally. I'm just tired. A lot of people always complain about being tired. I don't know what it is.
Man, it's quite interesting because, you know, it places a serious burden on a lot of people at the beginning of each year. And a lot of people have it at the back of their minds that, you know what, at the end of the year, you know, I'm not even going to achieve my goals. And it's always true. Because when we did a research, you know, a few years ago, we found out that only 8% of people that set New Year resolutions achieve their New Year resolutions. 92% of people fail year in, year out. So a lot of people are skeptical when they start the year. They're excited, but at the same time, there's skepticism. And that's why you need to be handheld by a coach that understands it, that can see your blind spots and help you design your life.
Mm.
It is important for you to be able to intentionally design your life because there's power in intentionality. A lot of people live life, you know, by chance. That's all you have.
Mm.
You know, you don't go to work by chance. You don't raise your children by chance. You raise them intentionally. You go to work intentionally. You work intentionally. If you're going for a party, you go to a party intentionally. Why are you living your life by chance when you have no spare? So it is important for people to begin to approach life from a different perspective. The way you lay your bed is the way you lie in it.
Mm.
Yeah, the way you approach your life
is what really ultimately happens.
Yeah, so we've got to take responsibility for our life's experiences, and you can change your life's experiences. You can. And this is the most pivotal time, because the next 2 decades of our lives, oh my God, especially as Africans, profound. Africa, oh, watch out.
Mm.
Watch out for Africa.
And on that note,
yay.
Thank you so much for being a part of our very first, I mean, this is literally, I'll say opening the year officially. And I'm so happy I got to do this. And, you know, as you said, knowing God, I feel that's how I hear from God, knowing, just knowing the decisions to take and what to do. Thank you so much, Coach, because people pay you a dime and so much more for this that you dropped on us today. I do appreciate it. I definitely will be in touch.
Please,
because I feel like I definitely need, you know, I just from the exercise you gave to me here, I just realized how much of my power I'd let go of. You know, just from this simple exercise, because I've been focused and narrowed on one particular thing that I feel like, God, you need to do this.
You need to do it,
and
right.
It's so funny how even when you were wheeling out everything, you didn't even get there till much later. So there's definitely more to me than that.
Yeah, there are 12 critical elements of our lives, 12 dimensions. It was Socrates that says that an unexamined life is not worth living. And so a lot of people, you know, they look at 1, 2, 3 areas of their lives and they focus on it and they neglect the remaining. There are 12 dimensions of your life that brings fulfillment. Marriage is one. Home and family is one. Spirituality is one. Health and well-being is one. Self-worth, self-esteem, self-confidence. Work is one. Your business is another. Fun, recreation, and rest is another. You know, spirituality is another. There are 12 dimensions to your life. And what we do is help you look at your life holistically and design your life for yourself based on what God has ordained for you. We help you create that, right? And we help you create a plan for the next till you're 70, 80. Mm. And then you know that each year you're showing up for yourself and for God. Because the definition of success is to do what you are meant to do, when you are meant to do it, how you are meant to do it. Now, if you were dispatched on this earth for a reason and you don't fulfill that reason, you have not succeeded.
Oh, heaven forbid we come to this earth and not fulfill that. All right, guys, thank you so much for being a part of this. My name is Talking Mac and we'll chat with you on the next episode of Talking Moments. Hopefully this year we have even more exciting guests that you guys are not really expecting, because I think this was absolutely phenomenal. Thank you. Chat with you guys.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.